go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30.
Welcome one, welcome all to your NFC East preview brought to you by Between the Trenches. Mitch, it's been a long time, but how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, buddy. It's been a long summer. We had a bit of a layoff, but we're back. Season's starting in a couple weeks. Things are going to get amped up once the season begins here.
Oh, boy.
We got to say, though, we did mention on our last podcast that we would have some guests in this time. It hasn't worked out, but we promise you we're going to have some guests in throughout the season. Things are going to get better. We got a couple shows for you coming up here. Be ready.
Yeah, we just want to apologize for that because we did make that promise. But like you said, Mitch, we're going to have them on throughout the season. It's going to be a fun time. And like you said, the season is just heating up. Preseason games have started. We just finished week one. I'm excited.
I got to remind everybody, too, though. This is preseason. We're getting fired up. We get to watch football games now with the uniforms and everything. But these are preseason games. Don't read too much into these. If you're worried about how your team's doing in the preseason, stop.
Yeah.
This is for backups, for coaches to evaluate their teams.
Exactly.
They really don't care about the score.
These are tryouts for undrafted guys who are late rounds.
Guys that you only see via injury or if, you know, big surprises happen.
Exactly. Well, Mitch, what do you say we get right into it? Like I said, we're talking about the NFC East today, my favorite division.
We saved this one for last. I know you've been itching to get at this one for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the division for me. This is the most question marks. We don't know what's going to go on with this division.
I'm telling you, and it seems to be that way almost every year, you know? I mean, you almost have a rotating cast of who's going to finish first or who's going to... Well, I think we know who's finishing at the bottom.
We're finishing last, yeah. But even those guys, even the Redskins, we're going to start with them. They finished 4-12 last year. Amazed they had 4 wins last year. They were a wreck. Starting off, first game of the season, they lose Robert Griffin, and things just go down from there. This year, you know, they brought in Pot Roast. Running Terrence Knight, and they signed a couple guys, but they're still the same burning tire fire, man.
Yeah, I just don't see much improvement here. I mean, let's not forget one of your old buddies from New Orleans joined the crew there too. So
yeah, Junior Gouette. Now this is like, but when you look at the Redskins' whole defense, their whole defensive line, their whole defensive backfield, and their entire wide receiving core are all free agents. That's terrible. That means you can't draft. That means they haven't drafted one of those guys in those position groups lately that they actually liked.
And you know what? I kind of want to touch on that because, you know, we brought up the fact earlier on this show, or maybe it was some other, I can't remember exactly when, but the Marcus Mariota deal, you know, the Eagles possibly moving up to get him and the package it would have required to be able to get him. This was kind of what I was afraid of if they were able to make that move because you give up pretty much your farm, your young, talented players, to bring in a quarterback who, look, successful and obviously successful in Chip Kelly's offense back in Oregon. But it's still a risk because you don't know how he's going to produce in the NFL. So that's why I kind of make that comparison because that's what the Redskins essentially did. They gave up all these draft picks. And because of that, these past few years, they've had to suffer through, you know, had to bring in free agents, they had to bring in these late draft picks and expected them to produce at high levels when, at the end of the day, that's just not what they were capable of doing. And other than the 1 year, his rookie year, that RG3 was able to lead that team to the NFC East crown, they have been inconsistent
at best.
And I
think that year was like, that really put him off to a bad start where he felt like he was the savior of the Redskins. They were absolutely in love with him. He was doing crazy things. I remember his first game he played against my New Orleans Saints, and I thought he was going to go out and, you know, be a rookie, and he crushed them.
Right.
It was a bad year for the Saints. Now, I just want to remind you guys what this trade was back in the day. If you remember, the St. Louis Rams traded back, Redskins traded up, big deal. So the players, now that all these draft picks have been made.
Okay.
And here are the players that St. Louis got back for
Redskins
Robert Griffin III.
Redskins just, fans, try, you might not want to hear this.
So, starting offensive tackle Greg Robinson.
Okay.
Starting linebacker Alec Ogletree.
Oh boy.
Wide receiver Stedman Bailey.
Ugh.
Running back Zach Stacy.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman Michael Brockers.
Okay.
Cornerback Janoris Jenkins.
I like him.
And running back Isaiah Pede and another linebacker Rokavious Watkins. Both those guys didn't really make the team, but all that for Robert Griffin III.
So, in essence, that's not the greatest group of players, I'll admit. Like, some of them are pretty talented, I think, but, you know, or some of them haven't made their mark yet.
I think that's a pretty solid group of players. Five of those guys start for the St. Louis Rams.
But would you say, okay, well, you know what? Let's put it this way. I think we can agree on this. It's the draft picks. We don't know what each team is going to do with their draft picks. So what the Redskins might have drafted with those picks, who knows? I mean, that could have benefited them in the long run. Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some talented players there.
For one Robert Griffin III, for one good season at quarterback.
Yeah.
That's not worth it, even close.
Not
man.
Even close. Yeah, they have not made it up.
He's basically on the team still because of that trade. In my mind.
Oh, without a doubt.
In my mind, if the Redskins had just drafted him, if they had that second overall pick and they just picked him, he would have been off the team by now. He'd be traded or cut. He does not get along with Jay Gruden. They established that last year.
And that's sad because, I mean, you're talking about it was Jay Gruden's first coaching gig, first year, and they can't get along already. Unbelievable.
So let's move on a little bit past the quarterback and how atrocious that trade was a couple of years ago. They have brought in Terrence, like we mentioned, Terrence Knighton, who was one of the best defensive tackles in the league last year. But this reminds me a lot of when they brought in Albert Haynesworth a few years ago.
Oh, boy.
They gave him way, way too much money. They found out that, hey, you know, he has that. He's a big guy, not because he works out all the time, because he likes to eat.
Yeah.
And his health just declined. And that was just end up being another huge mess for Dan Schneider and the Redskins. I don't know, man. I think we're pretty. When you look at these guys' schedule, they have a tough schedule this year, too. No easy wins. No Raiders. No Titans. I have these guys going 2-14, and I think that is. Pretty optimistic. I think they're just going to squeeze out a win. They always seem to. We've talked about this off the air. They always seem to squeeze out a win against the Cowboys.
Yep,
late in the
Monday
year
night.
On a Monday night, and they're playing Cowboys on a Monday night in their first game of December this year. That seems like one of those kind of perfect storms. We'll get to the Cowboys a little later on. What do you think of the Redskins' record this year?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I was looking at the schedule up and down, and you're right. I mean, there's a Buccaneers game where they have a good shot at possibly winning there. But other than that, I gave them three wins. I give them a 3-13 record. I mean, look, like you said, they finished 4-12 last season. They didn't get any better. This is a team that I don't see have learned from any of their mistakes from last season. So I can't see them. Yeah, I
think there's a struggle we didn't talk about too with Dan Schneider, the owner, who wants way too much control of this team,
right.
Including being so ridiculous and then not being able to change the name of this team. By the way, people don't know this. The Washington Redskins weren't originally named the Washington Redskins. They were named the Washington Braves. He has a name to go back to, and he's just not doing it. So, whatever. We're going to move on past Dan Schneider. But I think the whole root of that – the whole stink of that organization roots from him.
He's the star
and,
of it. Okay.
And it's just a mess of dysfunction. So let's go on to last year's NFC East – third place, New York Giants, who are 6-10. They got a great breakout year from Odell Beckham Jr. Everybody loves this guy.
That's for sure.
But they fought off a lot of injuries. It was their first year in Ben McAdoo's system, coming over from Green Bay.
Right.
Eli Manning actually had a pretty good individual year. He had 30 touchdowns.
It was underrated. Let's not talk about how about the turnovers that he was able to cut down on.
Absolutely. That's been a huge Achilles heel for Eli over his career.
Right.
And he was able to exactly cut that out. Injuries piled up, especially late in the year. And they, you know, they lose Antrell Roll. I think that's a big loss, especially now that we know they've lost Mekele Thompson,
yep.
Who is projected to be their starting safety for the year, and Landon Collins, who was their second-round pick, probably the best safety in the draft.
A steal in the second round.
He's going to be out for at least week one. He's going to miss the rest of training camp. That's going to hurt him as a rookie.
Absolutely.
Even though he was slotted to be one of their best players, and they just signed, as of yesterday, Brandon Merriweather, who is just a penalty machine. But
and fines. I mean, he's not a good friend of Roger Goodell. Let's just put it that way.
No, but one thing I will say about Brandon Merriweather is he's played his first 4 years for the Patriots, and he's a veteran guy. He's been around the league. He played for those Redskins. But he brings at least a veteran presence to that room. The safety spot is still a young spot. There's a lot of undrafted and late guys
right there.
So at least he brings some veteran presence there. He's not going to do them any favors in coverage.
No.
He'll lay some guys out.
That's the thing. Like, he has a tendency. He'll throw his whole body, regardless of the rules that have been stated by the NFL. He will throw his body into whoever he needs to take them down. So he's an aggressive guy. You're right. I mean, he's a veteran presence that I think can – I mean, the depth there is so weak that, I mean, he's somebody who will definitely help them.
One thing that is strong, I would say, the strength of the Giants team this year is going to be their offense.
Without a doubt.
But on the defensive side, the strength of that defense is their cornerbacks. Prince Amukamara and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie are a very solid pair, and they've been in the league now for some time. Amukamara getting drafted in 2011 behind Patrick Peterson, I think, and Richard Sherman in that draft as well. Not to mention, that was a really good corner draft.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to step up, and they know that they're weak at safety. So those guys are going to buckle down and play a little harder. They always seem to find a way to get a pass rush in New York.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the biggest thing is going to be Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, we don't know what ended up happening with him that fateful July 4th.
Yeah, something, you know, he's a misfortunate accident. It seems to happen
right.
in New York. Remember with Plaxico Burress
shooting
himself in the leg.
That's true. But it sucks because, I mean, JPP, he's such a talented player. He's one of their defensive ends. But, speaking of defense, they brought back Steve Spagnuolo, who's, you know, he pretty much, I mean, he kind of invented that NASCAR package for, you know, that defensive line
yeah,
where they kind of would just throw out those four defensive ends and just let them go at the quarterback. I'm interested to see what he does because I felt like, you know, after that, he was able to get that St. Louis job. And
that didn't work out. And then he came to New Orleans.
Right.
And I was actually really excited about that because of that NASCAR package and that four-man pass rush he likes to really preach. It didn't work out. That was the worst defense ever, if you forgot. That
yeah.
was
Yeah. Didn't want to bring it up, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. And I'm sure Spagnuolo does, too. And I'm sure he's happy to be back in his comfortable position in New York where he's had success before. Back with Tom Coughlin. We don't know how long Tom Coughlin's going to stick around the NFL. And I think that's another thing we need to look at with the Giants is these guys are playing for a coach who's getting up there. And he's always been a coach that gets the most out of his players. And I think that's got to be something that we look at. But we need to talk about this offense.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, so this is the second year they're going to be running this offense. It was essentially the Green Bay offense where – I mean, even Eli Manning even changed his stance in the pocket. You noticed that?
I don't know.
It's like, I mean, he was. That's why I find it so impressive that he was able to cut down on all those interceptions in the first year of this offense because he was pretty much learning a new offense from the get go.
And you remember the first four weeks, about the first month of the season, he was not very good.
No.
It took him some time to get into it, but once he got into it, he got Odell Beckham back.
Yes.
That was a big bump. And things just took off from there.
And when it comes to Eli Manning, when it comes to either of the Manning brothers, they love their tight ends. And Eli Manning, it doesn't matter who the tight end is, whether it's Kevin Boss, Jeremy Shockey, and now
Larry Donnell,
Fells. I mean, he just finds a way to find.
He's going to find a guy.
I mean, was it? I believe it was hit. Wasn't it Donnell who had the 3-touchdown game? Was it against the Redskins? Or
I think it was. It was like a Sunday or Monday night game, and he had 3. He came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who this guy was.
Yep.
And then next week, he was a big fantasy waiver wire pickup. But I think this wide receiving core
now that
Cruz is back, and you forget there's two guys. So the top three are Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz, Ruben Randall, and then behind that is Dwayne Harris, who's been a great depth receiver for the Cowboys the last few years, and James Jones. James Jones led the NFL in touchdowns a few years ago playing in McAdoo's system
right.
with Rodgers.
As the third best receiver?
I think he was the fourth at that point because that was – he still had Donald Driver and Greg Jennings.
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb wasn't there yet. He was the fourth guy on that list, and he was able to – because that's what this system's about, is getting the ball to the open guy.
Right.
I don't think he's the same player he was then, but he has that experience, and he's going to be able to teach it to, you know,
those young players.
Odell Beckham Jr. is still – he's a second-year player. Ruben Randle, I believe, is a third, maybe a fourth-year player.
Yeah.
These are still guys that are still coming into their own, and I think Jones and Cruz can help that bunch. Like you mentioned, the tight end group, and even the running backs this year.
Shane Vereen is a huge pickup for the Giants. That's something they've never had.
One of the better third down backs in the league.
They've never had a running back like that before.
Maybe look back at Brandon Jacobs Ahmad Bradshaw.
Right.
And I even this group. So they have Rashad Jennings, Andre Williams, a power back.
Yep.
And Shane Vereen. This kind of reminds you of that Earth, Wind, and Fire group of Bradshaw, Jacobs, and Ward back.
Yeah.
When they won the Super Bowl in 2007.
Right.
So you know, I think that's they're gonna come back. Spagnuolo's back. They got a good receiving crew. They got this good. Running back depth. This to me feels like a good season for the New York Giants.
And it's funny because not a lot of people think that way. I mean, they agree with us in that the offense will be pretty productive, really productive. I mean, they finished with the 10th overall offense last season. I think that's only going to get better.
Yeah.
After a second year in this offense.
They did that
offense.
With a lot of injuries too, remember?
Exactly. The running game, like you mentioned, is going to get so much better, I think, with the, like you said, adding Shane Vereen.
And getting Williams another year.
I think Andre Williams, I mean, you're talking about somebody who, wasn't he a Heisman candidate two years ago?
Yeah, and he led the, in Boston, when he was at Boston College, he led the country in attempts. He got the ball a lot. He took a lot of hits. And he powered through it.
He's a workhorse.
Rashad Jennings came over from Oakland last year, and he only played about half the year, ten games.
He was hurt, yeah.
He had some injury issues, but he was a stud out in Oakland with no help before that.
He's got
a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent on this team. I think the big hole, like we keep thinking, is that safety hole.
Yeah.
Which can be a killer. We saw it with the Bears last year.
Well, you know what? What do you think about the linebackers? Because the Giants are notorious for ignoring that position.
They have John Beast in there, and he's getting an older guy. I think you're right though. That's a position that they kind of neglect. But I think in that Spagnuolo defense, you remember they had Antonio Brown. I want to say.
Oh no. He's on ESPN now. I know who you're talking about. Oh,
Antonio
man.
Pierce.
Yes, there we go.
He was just a run of the mill linebacker.
Yeah.
But with that defensive line in front of him, they made him look great. They're going to take up a lot of those blockers. I think with that Spagnuolo defense, it's easier on the linebackers than in most defenses.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm not down on the Giants like a lot of people are. A lot of them have them finishing anywhere from like some even I've even seen where they have them finishing 6-10, like almost near the bottom of that division. I just can't agree. I just think that especially in this division where defense is not, let's just say the teams aren't known for their defense,
no.
And where this offense could be one of the best in football, they could be able to, where they're going to be playing them five times. I mean,
yeah, I think absolutely. This is, you know, let's move on to our predictions here.
Sure.
I have the Giants winning the division.
Ooh.
I have them going 10-6.
Okay.
I think it'll be close, but I think you're right. Those division games are going to be huge, and I think that they match up well against their division opponents. Like the Redskins, I think those will be two. You know, we mentioned the Redskins maybe beating the Cowboys. I don't see that happening with the Giants.
No.
I just don't think they can keep up. And we'll move on to the other, and you know, question what some of the other question marks with the other teams are in a bit. But I think the Giants are primed to have a really good season.
I agree. Like I said, I think the second year of this offense is just going to pay dividends for everybody on that roster. I have them finishing with an identical record of 10-6, but I think that's second in the division. I think that they'll definitely fight for a wild card with that record. Like I said, I think the defense, especially that safety position, is going to be a bit of a problem for them. But, I mean, if they can put up
look back at those Packers teams that always, they had a couple good defensive players in the front, but they won games with their offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the Giants can do here.
Yeah. And last thing I want to mention is every 4 years, the Giants have a tendency to make a run at the Super Bowl, regardless of what they did the past few years.
Yeah.
And this is the year that they play the AFC East. This is the year that they will play the Patriots once again. And for whatever reason, the first time they won that Super Bowl with Eli Manning, they were able to No, they ended up losing that.
They lost that last game of the season. But right. those Patriots said after that game, that was the hardest game of the year.
Right. And the second Super Bowl run, they ended up beating New England in New England. I think it was like a Kevin Boss or one of the tight ends touchdowns at the very end to end up winning the game. And they, again, they play them again this year. I just want to double check to let you know when that happens. It's week 10 against New England. Look out for that game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll be back by then. So look out for that game. As I'm not going to say it's a precursor to any Super Bowl matchup, but I'm just saying, I don't know how the Giants do it, but every 4 years they make a Super Bowl run. So just look out for that.
All right. Now let's move on to your Philadelphia Eagles.
Oof.
Last year finished 10-6.
Yes.
Pretty solid record. Second in the division. A lot of changes this offseason. A lot of changes.
To say the least.
Now, it's no secret you're a big Eagles fan.
Yes.
So I want to ask you, now that you've seen all of these moves, I know you weren't happy when McCoy got traded, but now that you see DeMarco Murray's here, there's been a fuller picture. What was your most favorite, and what was your least favorite move of the Eagles offseason?
Okay, so my least favorite has to be Byron Maxwell. I think he's an impressive cornerback. I think that, you know, obviously playing alongside Richard Sherman in Seattle is a benefit to anybody. Obviously, he got a lot of targets, too, so, you know, he has that experience. But as much as I love the signing, because cornerback safety, like we mentioned with the Giants, is something that they needed to improve on, that's a lot of money they paid him. And that's kind of my issue with that contract. So that's kind of... That's kind of my least favorite in that sense.
Huh.
Am I allowed to use draft picks or no?
Sure.
I really like Eric Rowe. We brought this up. I love Eric Rowe coming from Utah in the second round. I think that he's somebody. Yesterday's preseason game against the Colts, he played a lot of downs, obviously, to get the experience and the reps, but I thought that something he was able to do after he was beat by Philip Dorsett on, I believe it was a crossing route, he was able to recover very quickly and was able to punch the ball out. So to have that kind of instinct as a rookie, something I'm really impressed with. And you mentioned the LeSean McCoy deal. I wasn't happy at first, but I think bringing in Kiko Alonso, if he's healthy, I know he has concussion issues right now, but he will add a lot of depth to that linebacker core that I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I think Chip Kelly and LeSean McCoy didn't get as long of well as we may have thought they did in the past, right. And that they were probably unlikely that McCoy was going to sign for a deal that wasn't outrageous in terms of dollars and cents.
Right.
After this year, so that I can see, I think we can see now that McCoy has left, he's said some things. And just to remind people in that Byron Maxwell deal, that was a 6-year, $63 million deal. That's that's $10 million a year, a little more.
That's
a lot for a corner.
And I just want to mention before you continue, he already said that apparently the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
We've heard that from the Eagles.
Vince Young has made that proclamation before, and I mean, we saw how that turned out. So,
right, man, a bit of a surprise. I have to say, I like Byron Maxwell. I think he was probably, other than Ndamukong Suh, maybe the best free agent available this year.
I just think it's the price. That's
absolutely
my issue.
And clearly, you know, picking a third round pick as your favorite pick, as your favorite offseason move, you're digging below the surface a little bit here. But
I'm telling you, he has a chance to be Defensive Rookie of the Year, and
right,
I know that's biased, but
absolutely. I think I think the being able to deal away McCoy and then bring in not just Murray but Ryan Matthews as well.
Because that's the thing.
That's huge. They're better than they were last year.
Because when you think about it, at the cost that LeSean McCoy was going to come back at, I believe it was around 9.7. They were able to bring in McCoy. They were able to bring in DeMarco Murray, like you said,
Matthews.
And retain Sproles for almost the same price. Those three running backs are going to cost about almost the same as what LeSean McCoy would have cost the whole year.
Absolutely.
And you're talking about two running backs in DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews who are one cut backs that fit Chip Kelly's system better than LeSean McCoy, who he loves to dance in the pocket before making his move. And look, he produced some great years for the Eagles, and he's the all-time leading rusher for that reason. But, you know, Like you said, I mean, I think this is a better running back group now than it was last season.
I think the big question mark for the Eagles this year is at quarterback.
Yes.
And it's a huge question mark. And I think we've talked about this before. Sam Bradford, I think if he can stay healthy, will do just fine in that Eagles system. He's a better fit than Nick Foles was. Probably even a better fit than Mike Vick. He doesn't have the speed, but in terms of Chip Kelly wants quick decision makers, get the ball out quick. He has a very quick release. He's very accurate. But it's been those knees. He's had such injury issues throughout his whole career. And with this Eagles system where the quarterback is kind of exposed to, you know, he's going to have some plays where they're going to ask him to run just because it's going to be open. This system is what I love about the Chip Kelly system. It's all about just doing whatever it is to get the ball down the field. He pushes the boundaries of what a lot of NFL coaches do, and you don't see that anymore, really. It's a lot of the same stuff over and over that you see, very similar playbooks by most teams, but not Chip Kelly.
No. Well, I mean, I'm glad you bring that up, because Chip Kelly, one of the things that he loves to preach is that, you know, he wants to use the entire field. Like you said, a lot of coaches love to, you know, just kind of mimic what other teams are doing.
Copycat league.
Exactly. But Chip Kelly, he loves to use the entire field. He loves putting players in space. I mean, just watching the preseason game against the Colts, there were so many open receivers. It's not a matter of, like, the talent at that position. I mean, even though Jeremy Maclin was lost this past season, That's not an issue. I'm not saying that it's a plug and play kind of thing with Chip Kelly's offense, but I'm saying that the way his system works, he finds ways to get so many players in different space in open space, so that, like you said, the quarterback just has to make that quick read and find that purse that outlet. But when it comes to the quarterback, I hope that Sam Bradford can stay healthy. Yeah. Seeing Mark Sanchez pretty much airball a lot of throws yesterday. Matt Barkley did look very well. I mean, he's upping his trade value, which is apparently what's going on there. I don't know. I wouldn't mind retaining him for a third quarterback, but who knows?
I think we also got to mention Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
Tebow is on the roster.
Yeah,
you know, Dwayne doesn't want to mention this, but Tebow looked. I thought he looked better than he did. Honest to goodness, I wasn't a big Tebow guy. I kind of liked the explosiveness and the excitement he brought to the ends of games, but overall, watching him as a quarterback is kind of it's cringeworthy sometimes. But he looked to me a lot improved. He adds that kind of gadget player that these other quarterbacks don't really. You know, Bradford, Sanchez, Barkley, none of those guys
they're not mobile
quarterbacks. None of them are mobile. And not only is Tebow mobile, but he's willing to take those hits.
For sure.
And he doesn't need to be the starter. I don't think if Tebow is starting games for the Eagles, then they're in trouble.
I completely agree. I mean, Mike Mayock, we were talking about this earlier. Mike Mayock brought up the fact after calling the preseason game against the Colts that he's a guy who could make the roster, and if he does, he's going to be somebody that Chip Kelly just finds ways to throw into the game, just because he's somebody that the opposing defense would have to game plan for. And he's somebody that would just frustrate those defenses, because, look, defenses don't want to have to practice those read options. They don't want to have to practice against those or have to find ways
it's
to defend
to
against.
Practice against a read option, because you got to hit your own quarterback.
Exactly. So that it's something that would frustrate them. And I can see the point that he's making, but I don't know. I honestly don't know what the plan for Tebow is, buddy.
Yeah, I think it's all right now just insurance.
Yeah.
For Sam Bradford, if he's healthy, then he'll play. Mm-hmm. But that's just such a big question mark.
Yeah, it is.
Defensively,
huge improvement. I have to say, I know, like, there's only so they were 28th in the league in defense. I think it was either 72. It was either between 72 and 74 plays. Of 20 plus more passing yards. They gave up around 72 to 74 big plays down the field of 20 yards or more. That was by far the worst in the league.
And they've definitely gone out. They've addressed that cornerback. We mentioned Byron Maxwell comes in. Walter Thurman comes in.
Yes.
That's a former, you know, LOB pair. Nolan Carroll from Miami.
Yep.
You mentioned Eric Rowe, who I think you're right. I think he is going to slide into that nickel spot.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins, who they signed from New Orleans a couple years ago. I love Malcolm Jenkins.
He's
a playmaker all around.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he was by far the best player in the secondary last season, and he's the only mainstay there because of that. I think I mentioned, Kiko Alonso joining that linebacker core. He rejoins D'Amico Ryans, who, I have to be honest, I thought that when Kiko Alonso was brought in, and Michael Kendricks, if he stayed healthy and was able to, well, if he wasn't traded by Chip Kelly, I thought that D'Amico would have been somebody like they let go. But obviously, they love his leadership in the locker room.
Yeah, and they've ranted about that. I remember last year when he went out, that's all they talked about was it was such a huge loss. And as a fan, you see him like D'Amico Ryans is he's a pretty good linebacker, but
he is.
He's not a top 10 kind of guy. He's a off the field in the huddle. He's that defensive quarterback.
Absolutely.
Kiko Alonso. I love Mikhail Kendricks. I think he's one of the faster linebackers in the league.
He's somebody who I feel like he can defend those elite tight ends in the league just because he has the speed to keep up with them.
Yeah. Connor Barwin's been a beast at times.
Wow, what a season he had last season.
And Brandon Graham he got his contract. He will now start regularly at the outside linebacker position. Trent Cole's gone. Off to Indianapolis, and Brandon Graham, who was a first-round pick in 2010, finally getting his shot.
I know. Between Andy Reid and Chip Kelly, he just could not find playing time. And for somebody, I believe he had 5.5 sacks last year, and that was for 5.5 sacks last year, and that was in limited playing time. I mean, he's a guy who, I'm telling you, he just needs the chance. He is a very talented guy. I'm glad that they re-signed him. Marcus Smith, first overall pick last year, he did not do anything. Obviously, outside linebacker after losing Travis Long due to a torn ACL, he's going to have to step up just because they're weak at that position group. But I think as much as they've addressed the secondary, I think that defensive line is where they're going to be the best. I think
they've done a good job of, in the Chip Kelly system, you kind of need a solid defense because there's a chance that they're going to be on the field quite a bit. The offense struggles, they're going to be, on and off the field in maybe a minute.
Absolutely.
So you got to be ready, and I think they've added some depth, especially at the cornerback and the defensive backfield. They've gotten rid of some guys who may have been liabilities, Kerry Williams.
Oh, boy.
As the big one that I can think of. They also traded away Brandon Boykin, which I don't know how you feel about that. I thought he was a good player.
You know what the problem is that Chip Kelly loves tall and lengthy cornerbacks, and Brandon Boykin, he's no bigger than I am. I think he's like
5'9". Yeah, maybe.
He's kind of a smaller playmaker than me. So that's the thing. Like, he loves bigger cornerbacks, even for those slot guys, which is the position he used to play. So now it's kind of a rotating cast. These preseason games are going to be pretty much the telltale of who ends up starting at that position. But like you said, I think Eric Rowe will probably see that.
He seems like a good nickel spot. So let's go on to our predictions.
Sure.
Now, my prediction, I think I have to come with a bit of an asterisk. I'm also not only predicting the record, but I'm predicting that Sam Bradford is not going to make it.
Okay.
That's what my record is kind of based upon. I have the Eagles going 8-8.
Okay, that's fair.
Third in the division. And I think if Bradford can stay healthy, this should be a 10-win team. I just don't think he's going to stay healthy, man. I apologize to the Eagles fans out there because I know everyone's just holding their breath and hoping that – and I myself included, he's never really – I saw Sam Bradford play live in 2012 against the Bills.
Nice.
In Buffalo. And even then, his offensive line wasn't very good. He didn't have anybody to throw to, the main thing that I saw. He was very quick on his release. I thought he was pretty accurate, but he just didn't have the weapons. This is – he's going to a much – this is the best situation that he's been in since coming to the NFL.
I agree.
So if he can stay healthy, I think it's a good team, but I don't think he's going to stay healthy. So I'm going to 8-8.
Okay, that's fair. No, honestly, that really is fair because, like you said, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's coming off of two torn ACLs these past two seasons. It's fair to assume that he might not be able to play out the year. But look, Chip Kelly has fielded, or at least last season in 2014, he fielded the fifth best offense. And that's with Nick Foles coming off of his 27 touchdown, two interception season, and pretty much struggling for the first half before getting injured. Then Mark Sanchez steps in, and Mark Sanchez played like Mark Sanchez. I mean,
he had a couple games early on where he looked really good.
He had that Thanksgiving game, which was probably his best game against the Cowboys. But after that, I mean, there were times he was inaccurate. He was turning the ball over like he usually does. And they still were able to maintain that fifth-best offense. That, to me, is impressive. So I think that if Sam Bradford can stay healthy, I think that they can't be any worse than fifth. Excuse me. And the defense, which, like I mentioned, was 28th, that has to get better just because they won't be giving up those huge plays, at least not that many, that unbelievable amount. So I think that if they can get that to anywhere from in the middle of the pack, I think that this is an 11-5 team. Wow. And I, you know what? I expect a lot of heat for this because obviously people are going to say that I'm being biased.
Hey, man, I had the Saints win their division too, and you had them in fourth, so I can't say anything.
You know what? Yeah, I in Chip Kelly we trust.
Hey, man, I'm a huge fan of Chip Kelly. I may be a bigger fan of Chip Kelly than you are. But you know what? I was a big fan of him in Oregon. He, like I said, he pushes the limits and he does things. That play where, you know, he ran it with Nick Foles a couple times, the read option, and Nick Foles takes a couple steps downfield and then throws it back out to the receiver. I've been waiting to see that for so long. I've been seeing, like, you know, it's little things like that. It's laterals. It's just thinking a little bit outside the box. I hope that this team can – I hope that Chip Kelly can get the most out of this team. He's definitely put his stamp on the team now. You can't say that these aren't his guys.
Exactly. And just before we move on, but I just wanted to mention, you bring up the fact that he's put his stamp on this team. Remember, he's pretty much has full responsibility of the roster as of this season. So people have kind of compared him to like a Walsh or even the Cowboys coach who took
– Parcells.
No. Oh, man, he's on Jimmy Fox Johnson. Sports. Jimmy Johnson, sorry. How did I forget Jimmy? So they've kind of compared those two because they're kind of guys who came into the league and, like you said, instead of being like participating in that kind of copycat mentality, they decided that they were going to create their own imprint.
Yeah.
And that's kind of – I do appreciate – I know you think that I'm not high on Chip Kelly, but I appreciate that. It's refreshing to see a coach come in and do something like that. And I just hope that this is the personnel that can – bring out the best potential and, you know, unleash what he wants to do for this upcoming 2015 season.
All right. Well, speaking of full potential, the Cowboys last year, I think they had their full potential.
Yes.
One of the best the best offensive line in football.
Without
a doubt. DeMarco Murray was an absolute stud. He's gone now.
Two of the Eagles.
That is a huge question mark for me because they didn't really replace him.
No.
They brought in, signed Darren McFadden, who, of course, has been riddled with injuries his whole career. They kept Julius Randle and Lance Dunbar. They signed Gus Johnson late in the draft. They didn't replace him.
No.
I think that was a mistake. And that was the Jerry Jones. I remember watching a press conference before the draft. Jerry Jones with his son Steven and they were going over how they didn't feel they needed to get a running back. And, you know, Darren McFadden's already hurt. Yeah. He got hurt in training camp. Not even a preseason game. He's already hurt. Julius Randle is like a skinny little man. Joseph Randle, sorry. He's a small guy.
Yeah.
And he's not the kind of guy that benefits from a really good offensive line.
Right.
I think Lance Dunbar might end up later in the season being being this guy's like their lead back.
You know what? I agree with you. I think those two, the two who are ahead of
Dunbar
and who I'm about to mention on the depth chart, I think that those two are injury prone and just don't fit this offensive line or at least this scheme properly. I think that Seastrunk is somebody you have to look out for. He comes from Baylor. I don't know, man.
He was drafted last year. This is his fourth team in 2 years.
I'm telling you, man.
That's not a good sign to me.
Well, I mean,
and
look.
I get your point. You're looking at this chart and you're thinking this offensive line is so good. One of these running backs has to be able to work with it.
Right.
But, you know, we won't see that. I think what's going to really kill the Cowboys in that sense is they had so much success last year taking the ball out of Tony Romo's hands. You know, having him only throw the ball 25 times a game, that is exactly what they want to be doing. And I have a feeling that they're going to get into some tight games. later in the fourth quarter, and they're going to go all Romo because they're not going to be able to trust that that ball, that a running back. And that is where Romo has really made his mistakes in his career, is when they've when all the pressure's been on him to have to make plays. They have a very good wide receiving core, but I think last year we saw how effective they were taking the ball out of Romo's hands.
But you're right. And let me ask you this, though, because when it comes to that wide receiver core, wouldn't you say they're kind of top heavy? Because I feel like after Terrence Williams, I mean, Cole Beasley, I mean, would you say that they have enough depth there? Because, look, Dez Bryant had an incredible season. He is one of, if not the best receiver in football. But he hasn't, beyond last season, had played a full 16-game schedule, I don't believe.
Yeah, you're right. They are top heavy. But I think Dez, you're right. I think Dez is one of the best receivers in the league. It's not valued enough. Terrence Williams is going to be Terrence Williams' third year in the league, and Cole Beasley's fourth year in the league.
Right.
This is when players come into their own. I don't think we've seen the best of Terrence Williams by a long shot.
I agree.
And Cole Beasley, say what you will, he's very athletic. He's a smaller guy. He's your ideal slot receiver.
Absolutely.
They drafted Devin Street in the fifth round last year. I liked Devin Street last year coming out of college. We didn't see him really play much. They also brought in A.J. Jenkins, who was a former first-round pick, and George Farmer, an undrafted free agent, who was a former running back turned wide receiver at USC. They've got some guys, and they've found guys in the past. Like Terrence Williams, I don't think – he was a third-round pick just 2 years ago, 2013. I don't think anybody expected him to be a legitimate wide receiver two in his second year.
That's true.
And they found that. Dwayne Harris, we mentioned earlier, he's gone to the Giants, but he was a guy who they found plays with. I think they're going to be all right.
Okay.
I don't think they're as good a wide receiver core as the Giants.
Right.
But that is a strong group. Jason Witten's been declining at the tight end spot, but they have Gavin Escobar, who they really like as a receiving option. So I think, you know, Tony Romo's got his weapons as long as they stay healthy. You're right, they're top heavy. If Dez goes down, that's a problem.
And speaking of health, Tony Romo, he's not like the epitome of health himself. I mean, he's 36 years old.
He's had some back issues.
He had the transverse ribs, I believe, last season.
Or two years ago, maybe. He did play, I think it was 2 years ago, he played with broken ribs.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no, like, you can't put his toughness in question whatsoever. He's a tough guy. He's an incredible talent at quarterback. When he has with that offensive line, I don't know. I really do hope that he stays healthy and can be productive, because, I mean, look, as much as they're a division rival, it's always fun. The league is always fun when the Cowboys are producing. So
yeah. So we mentioned a little earlier that Dez had some health issues. I'm just looking now. He actually hasn't.
No. Has he played healthy?
He's played 16 games last year, 16 games the year before. In 2012, he played in 16. He started 14. I think he had some kind of discipline issues with the team.
Sure.
The year before that, he had some issues. 2011, he played 13 games. 2010, he only started two.
Okay.
But since then, he's had 3 years in a row of over 1,200 yards receiving, over 12 touchdowns. He's been pretty consistent for 3 years now. I think we kind of lump him in and think like, oh, you know, he's kind of a young guy. He's been around the league for quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he's really burst onto the scene. Last year, 16 touchdowns.
Yeah.
On a team, remember, that DeMarco Murray was dominating.
Right.
He still was managed to get 16 touchdowns and 1,300 receiving yards.
I mean, when they get into the red zone, they're always looking at him. I mean, Jason Witten used to be that target, but now Dez Bryant, I mean, he's just
so
emerged.
Good at those high-pointing the ball and those fade routes. He dominates corners. He's one of those guys that is so hard to defend one-on-one. You almost need safety help.
And sometimes that doesn't help. Just ask Houston. You remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the game.
And the other thing you got to think with Dez Bryant is he's still pissed off about that catch not being a catch. So I think that like for guys like Dez who is so motivated, he's so fired up. You see him get into it with his teammates on the sideline. He's a bit of a better the last couple of years, but early in his career, you saw him look like he was fighting his teammates.
Oh yeah,
and you'd find out later it's like, oh no, he just really wanted to win.
Yeah, you know what? That was unfair. I mean, that was a misconception that people were kind of just portraying on him.
But that's my point now is he's so fired up that something like that, that catch, he's dreaming about that catch. He's, you know, if they play, I'm not sure if they play the Packers
this
year or not. They
week
play
14.
That will be, I circle that for Dez Bryant. Three touchdowns. I'm calling it right now. Dez Bryant. He's gonna want to light that one up, and right. I don't think the Packers have anybody that can really stop him one on one. So
no, they'll have to put some help.
I expect
over.
That game to be a shootout. That one will be a fun one.
Yeah. Let's look at the defense because I mean that's kind of been like I mentioned, or like we both mentioned throughout this episode. That's kind of the Achilles heel of all the teams in this division.
Yeah, their defenses are unknown. I think we mentioned the Eagles' defense looks pretty good. But the Cowboys, you're absolutely right. They lost DeMarcus Ware last year. He went to Denver.
Yep.
I think that was a huge turning stone for the Cowboys because he was their identity for a long time.
Absolutely.
He's been gone now. They've brought in the controversial Greg Hardy.
Because, I mean, they needed the pass.
Almost like a desperation move. Like they knew. They even said when they signed him, we know it's going to be at least 10 games till we see this guy, and they still signed him. They were able to draft Randy Gregory in the second round. He was probably one of the most talented players in the draft.
Should have gone in the first round. It's just that he had some off-field issues.
Yeah, he had some off-the-field issues. He also, the one that stuck out for me was he was like 2 hours late to two interviews, which is just like, those are the interviews of your life.
Yeah.
And you can't be late to those. That's ridiculous. Hey, but maybe he knew what he was doing. Maybe he wanted to go to the Cowboys all along. they also drafted Byron Jones in the first round.
Who's an athletic freak. If anybody saw his combine stuff, wow.
And I don't even know if they're going to ask him to start.
Probably not.
You know, with Brandon Carr and Orlando Scandrick. But that's going to be great for him like to come in. And one thing that can kill a corner is having to start as a rookie and getting lit up a couple times. That can really just kill your confidence.
I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Morris Claiborne start from the get-go? And
He had an all right rookie year, and then he's declined since. But they have him now like, right there with Byron Jones as a kind of 3-4 corner. And he's supposedly feeling the best of his career.
Okay.
And I think that's a good sign because there's no doubt he's got a lot of talent. There's also going to be Barry Churches and J.J. Wilcox, the safeties. This will be their third year playing together. I think that's a big
continuity is huge in any sport.
Especially the safety position. Yep. Those guys need a lot of communications. Cowboys play a lot of cover two, which means those guys have basically the same role on either half of the field.
Look, let's talk about the linebackers. The Eagles, we mentioned that Sam Bradford has had a bad history of staying healthy. Sean Lee is pretty much the same thing. I mean, he is when he's on the field.
Yeah, when he's on the field, he's
one of the best.
Stop making plays. But he's always around the ball, but he can't. You're right. He can't.
Just like Sam Bradford, I believe he was knocked out of, or at least he was done for the season before the season even started. Right?
Yeah, that or like very early on because they had to sign. I think you're right because they signed Rolando McClain,
who had an unbelievable season.
Yeah, came out of nowhere. He's been retired a couple times.
Right.
But Sean Lee's back, hopefully, you know, healthy, fingers crossed. But because he's one of those guys, I agree. I think he's an awesome playmaker. I love watching him play, but right. He never plays. he's similar to, he reminds me a lot of Luke Kuechly.
Yes.
And they have Anthony Hitchens, Kyle Wilbur also returning. At linebacker, they're not real strong at linebacker. A lot of these teams aren't real strong at linebacker. And I think their defensive line last year, they were able to find ways to get pressure without DeMarcus Ware. We'll be interested to see if Rod Marinelli, because Rod Marinelli, I think, did a very good job last year.
This is unbelievable.
This isn't a very, talent-wise, this isn't like an off-the-charts team, but he's been playing great.
Mitch, do you remember that this was projected to be the worst defense in NFL history going into last year?
Yeah.
And for them to finish
playmakers at no position.
For them to finish 19, and to think that opening game against San Francisco, where Kaepernick was just pretty much having his way, that whole San Francisco team was having their way from the get-go. People were just like, "Well, here we go. It starts now." But no, I mean, like you said, Rod Marinelli, whatever he did on the field to get his team to, for lack of a better word, overachieve, he did it because they played. They played beyond their talent. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah, and I think that also had a lot to do with the fact that DeMarco Murray was panning the ball. The offense was, eating up a lot of the clock. I don't
Very
think this,
good.
Their time of possession for the Cowboys last year was over 30 minutes. They averaged over, you know, they in all their games, they controlled the clock. And that was a huge help for this defense. And I don't know exactly how they, you know, if they can't get that, if they got to pass the ball a lot, what's going to happen?
I agree. That's a huge question mark, and that's a great point you make. Just the fact that, you know, the defense didn't have to be on the field as much as, you know, some others. So I guess let's move on to the predictions. I mean, we've kind of made our cases for the Cowboys. I think that the seventh overall offense in 2014, I don't see them replicating that. They have by far the best offensive line in football, but it's not so simple that you can just plug and play any running back at that position and expect to have the same success. So look, DeMarco Murray rushed for over 1,800 yards, okay? Lance Dunbar.
Joe Randall, Jeremy Fadden, they're not going to
do that.
They're not going to combine for that.
Right. So, yeah, I just think that the offense is going to take a bit of a step back. And to be honest, I think that the defense does the same thing because, like you said, if they can't maintain, if the offense can't be on the field longer than the defense, I think that you're going to see those holes start to appear for that defense. And Rod Marinelli, for all the work he did last season, it's going to take a lot more to be able to keep them at 19, which was where they were last year. So I have them finishing 9-7. I think that they will compete. I mean, this is not
they beat the Seahawks at home last year.
That's right.
And when they did that, everybody had them as the best team in the league.
Michael Irvin included.
Yeah, so, you know, this was – and all they've really lost was DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, let's not get out of hand. Like, these guys, one player really did, as much as he may have been one of the best players in the league last year, you don't go from the best team in the league to a scrub off one
player. No. I mean, before last season, they had the trouble of finishing 8-8 for, I believe, three straight seasons, which, look,
for some different reasons each year, too.
Exactly. Tony Romo being hurt, missing games. You know, that's not going to happen again. I think 9-7 is a realistic spot. I think they will have a shot not down the stretch to possibly even compete for a wild card. And maybe 9-7 doesn't get it, but I think that they'll at least be in that conversation. So,
yeah, I have the, like I said, these guys were one of the best teams in the league last year. I had them at 10-6, second in the division. I also had Giants 10-6, but I think the Giants division record will be better. The Cowboys play the Redskins twice in the last 5 weeks. I know we mentioned that that one of those could be a trap game, but those are two probably big wins. And they also play a lot of tough defenses down the stretch. That kind of worries me, but I think this team we'll find, you know, they won't have the same success they did last year. But these guys never have the same success year to year, and they'll compete hard. Their defense, I think, is still very good, and they got better, I would say, with additions of Randy Gregory and Greg Hardy and Byron Jones. That's all we got for you today on Between the Trenches. Stay tuned. We got a couple more shows coming at you before the NFL season starts off. But thanks for listening. We'll get you next time.
All right, guys, we'll see you for our award previews coming up next.
Let me ask you a question. Who could possibly have it better than us?
Nobody!